Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be back again. It's a pleasure to be at Syracuse University today. And I want to begin by thanking the Dean, Dean Arterian, for allowing us to be here and for the last-minute arrangements and all the fuss that went with it. Dean Arterian, thank you very much. Let's give her a round of applause. My special counsel, who's worked on this proposal for years, worked at the Brennan Center before joining me, and he knows ethics and reform better than anyone in the state, Jeremy Creelan. Let's give him a round of applause. Mike Arcuri, who I worked with when he had all those hats, when he was writing that small novel of a resume as district attorney, as congressman. We worked together in Washington. We worked together in New York. He's believed in the system and reforming the system from day one, and he's a great advocate for reform. Thank you for being with us. Mike Arcuri. You're a district attorney. So I become attorney general, not governor. Before that, I was attorney general, and I'm just get elected to become attorney general, and working with the district attorneys is very important for the attorney general. Because they're different sides of the jurisdiction, but that relationship is important. I had been a former assistant district attorney in Manhattan to a gentleman named Bob Morgenthau, who's a great district attorney, but I didn't really know the district attorney, so I call around and I say, you know, well, who can I call, what district attorney can I call and talk to who can really help introduce me to this network of district attorneys and tell me what I need to know, et cetera. And to the one, everyone recommends your district attorney is the person to call. So I call District Attorney Fitzpatrick, who I had heard of, but I hadn't met. And I called up and I said, hi, I'm Attorney General Cuomo. And, you know, I was wondering, I thought we could meet, we could talk. And I said, yeah, no, I know attorney generals. I've seen them come. I've seen them go. I said, whoa. Bill was generous, and he was kind, and he showed me the ropes, and he introduced me to the district attorneys around the state. We went on for 4 years to have a really great relationship, and it was personally satisfying. It also made me a better attorney general, because our relationship with the DAs allowed us both to do a better job, I think, and it wouldn't have happened without Bill Fitzpatrick. And he is a national class law enforcement officer. Central New York, one of the reasons I think it works as well as it does, because they know District Attorney Fitzpatrick is there. And that goes a long way. Let's give him a round of applause. To Van Robinson, to the elected officials who are here, my friends, you heard the specific proposal. Let me just give you a little context, if I might, and then ask for your help. The context, as you heard, I've been governor for about 2 years. We've made a lot of good progress. We're coming to the close of the third legislative session. We have about 2 weeks left, so there's still time on the clock to get good work done, but it's time to focus and get serious. And we've just gone through several months of a series of scandals in Albany. Now, as the DA points out, scandals are not new to Albany. I know that as Attorney General, I was one of the most active Attorney Generals on public corruption cases in modern political history. I brought cases against senators, against assemblymen. We put a former controller of the state of New York in jail, actually, for what was called the pay-to-play scandal. So it's not new. But there's been a recent rash, if you will, of these scandals, and that has taken the issue and really brought it up to the forefront, and it has shaken public confidence in the government. And that is a fact. You can go anywhere in the state, and the public confidence is shaken. It started, people are always a little cynical, skeptical about government, but this confirmed the negative. And whether it's reality or perception, it doesn't really matter, because if people don't trust the government, that in and of itself is a problem, because any relationship is only as good as the level of trust. Think about it. You professional or personal. The extent of the relationship is limited by the level of trust. The more you trust, the stronger the relationship, the better it can work. So the trust has been shaken. When I was first elected 2 years ago, I said there were two components to what we wanted to do. First, we wanted to make the government work again, because government is supposed to function. Government is not an academic exercise. Academic exercise, you come to Syracuse University. You want to follow through and implement policy and program. That's what government is supposed to be. It's supposed to be an active service bureau. It's not a political organization either. It's not a debating society where everybody fights from their own political point of view and they get nothing done. You're supposed to serve the people of the state. So first was restoring the competence and the performance, and second was restoring the public trust. On the competence and performance in 2 years, we collectively, the executive and the legislature, have done a good job. I point to the state budget. If you needed a symbol of the dysfunction of state government, it was the state budget. Almost every year, like clockwork, the state is supposed to get the budget done by April 1. So a week before April 1 every year, the newscasts would start. Is the state going to get the budget done on time? Let's cut to Albany. And they would cut to Albany, and they'd have someone saying, well, we're trying, we're cautiously optimistic. And then next night, it's only 5 days. Is it going to happen? Well, we're close, we think. We're trying, the governor. And day two, day one, is it the day? Are they going to get it done? Oh, they don't get it done. And then it was 1 day late, 2 days late, 1 week, 1 month, 5 months, the latest in history. And this was every year, year after year after year. And it was infuriating, and it was arrogant, because this was your own government that couldn't pass a budget on time. How about if you said, well, I know tax deadline came and left, but, you know, I really wasn't ready to do my taxes, and we were debating in the House how much we should pay, you know. But here, the government just doesn't do the budget on time, and it became that symbol of the dysfunction. We have now done 3 budgets, all balanced, all on time. That hasn't happened in 30 years. So the government is working. We cut taxes like we said we were going to cut taxes. Now in New York, the middle class, up to $300,000 per year income. So it's an extended middle class. But the middle class pays the lowest tax rate in 60 years, believe it or not. 60 years lowest tax rate. Not adjusted for inflation, just tax rate is the lowest in 60 years. We started a host of economic development programs, regionally based, that really are working. Central New York has a new economic energy. We passed great social legislation. We passed marriage equality, which was a powerful social statement that resonated across the country. We raised the minimum wage. So the government is working. We have more programs to get done. There are 2 that we're trying to get done in the next 10 days. We want to pass a law called Women's Equality, which is a recognition by this state that we discriminate against women. And we do. And I'm proud to be part of an act that stands up and says we have been discriminating against women. Let's acknowledge it. Let's acknowledge it as a society and as a government, because denial is not a life strategy, and you don't solve a problem until you have the courage to confront it. So the Women's Equality Act is one. And second, an economic development program specifically for upstate New York that sets up tax-free zones. Zero tax zones. Why? Because upstate New York, the numbers are not good on the economy, and they have not been good for years. This is not just about the recent downturn. You look at the past decade, upstate New York trailed New York City. Upstate New York trailed the nation. We need dramatic reform for the economy in upstate New York to take off. And that's what zero tax zones are. I'm tired of hearing young people leave upstate New York because they couldn't find a job, or businesses leave because they complain about the taxes. We now have Texas advertising in this state because they have no income tax. So they're advertising zero tax. You can come to Texas and pay no income tax. Our program goes one better. You can stay in New York, pay no income tax, and you don't have to move to Texas. You can live in New York. So we want to get those programs done also. But the government is working. The restoring the trust is different because these past few months have had a dramatic effect on people. And you know what? And the legislature wants to argue, well, it's only a handful of people. It's only 6-7 people. It's not everybody. It's bad apples. I understand that. But it has gone on a long time anyway. And this is just a fortuitous opportunity because we should have made these changes anyway. People get it. The way we finance campaigns, this hasn't worked in years. Statewide candidate, I can receive $50,000 contributions. $50,000. And voters know if somebody else is making a $50,000 contribution, they're not really playing in this league. They're disenfranchised from the system. And if somebody's contributing that much money, what do they expect? Or what's the relationship? And that's how we're electing the politicians. How does a citizen feel who's not in a position to do that? And what pressure does it put on the elected officials who had to raise all that money? I'm going to run for re-election next year. I'm going to have to raise $30, $40 million to run for re-election. I mean, why? Public finance answers all of that in one move. And it returns the authenticity and the connection of the system to the citizens and the voters where it belongs. I believe it's going to strengthen the relationship between the elected official and the citizen. And it will restore the trust. And that's what this act is all about. Making campaigns work better in terms of finance. And that's the public finance system. Getting more people to vote. Voting is a good thing. Encouraging people to vote is a good thing. Make it easier for young people to register to vote. Make it easier to change your party enrollment if you want to shift. Make it easier to read the ballot so you can figure out who you're actually voting for. You know, make this system better. That's what this law does. And this is the law that we sent to the legislature this week, and we want them to act on before the end of this session. Because the time is now, and the time is ripe. And the recent string of scandals, to the extent it made people focus, that's a good thing. And used it as a good thing. That's the silver lining to the scandals, is it caused us to focus. But I'm not going to leave this legislative session without having done everything I can to restore the trust. And I truly hope the legislature acts on this legislation. But if they don't, then there's an option that I also propose. The executive, the governor, has a law that gives him or her power to investigate if he believes there's been a deficiency in the law, where the law is deficient, or state agencies that have not been operating properly. And it's called a Moreland Commission Act. Moreland Act named for Moreland, 1907, was Speaker of the Assembly and had proposed the law. Very powerful law. It's been used in the past to investigate organized crime, to investigate gambling, but it's a very, very powerful investigative tool. If the legislature does not act, I am going to use the Moreland Commission law to impanel a Moreland Commission investigatory body of the best law enforcement minds in the state to investigate the state government, come up with recommendations on how we can make it better, and to the extent there have been violations, to refer those violations to the district attorney, because I want to be able to say to the people of this state, we are doing everything we can to make sure you have the cleanest, best government in the state. And if the legislature won't do it, I will do it. They pass the law, or I'm going to appoint the Moreland Commission the day after the legislative session if they don't pass this law. So and my last point is this. You know, people, when you hear someone say, well, I want to put together a Moreland Commission to investigate government. You could say, well, that person must not like government. If you think it needs to be investigated, you must not like it. No, it's actually the exact opposite. I believe in government, and I believe in the capacity of government to do good things. That's why I want the people of the state to trust the government, because the lack of trust limits the government. And if they really did believe in the government, and they knew they could trust the government, and the government was on their side, and those elected officials were really representing them, the government would even be more powerful and would actually be better. And government, you know, we talk about the government like it's this third party, like it's this alien being, the government. I like the government. I don't like the government. The government is just us. That's all the government is. It's not a separate planet. It's us. And of course I want it to work because I want us to work. Government is just the committee that we form to do what we can't do ourselves. Because we have to do certain things, so we say, okay, we're going to elect a committee. And that committee, we call it government. And if the government does better, then we do better. And if the government is failing, if that committee is failing, then we are stymied. So of course I want it to work. Of course you want it to work. And that's why that relationship is so important and that trust is so important. I want you to have a state government that when you hear it's thinking or doing or acting, you just assume it's smart and it's right and it's on your side because that's your experience. And now you hear about it and you think it's you're skeptical, you're cynical because of what you read in the newspaper. Not because I don't like it, but because I believe in the capacity so much. And I believe in the capacity of this state. And I believe, to the extent we haven't been doing what we should be doing, either economically or in growth patterns, if we had a state government in this state that was really using the assets of this state, there is nothing that we can't do. I spent 8 years in Washington. When Mike was the congressman, we worked together. I was in the Clinton administration for 8 years. I worked in every state in this nation, literally. I've been to every state in this nation many, many times. I was Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. I've been out there. There is nothing any state has over on New York State. We have everything they have plus. There is no reason why anyone should leave upstate New York for any other state because we have it here. We have the history, we have the geography, we have the demographics, we have the best healthcare institutions, the best higher ed institutions. Anything you could want, we have here. We just haven't had a state government that has delivered for the people of this state. Competence, get the job done, performance, and trust. That's what it's all about. And we're going to get it done one way or the other. Thank you and God bless you.